Good morning. It is June 4th, Thursday, the hottest day of the year. No, I think yesterday might have been the hottest day so far. Might have reached the 90s. It's a hot one. How's everybody doing? I'm doing good. Went for a great bike ride this morning. Enjoyed the weather. It's so nice out. Summer's here. Just ran 2 days, biked 1 day. You know, I'm not a big fitness fanatic, but I know what I got to do. I know I need to stay active, stay in the game a bit. The more that I do something like that in the morning, the less I get into my head. You know, I was talking to my dad last night, and it's funny, when your father, as your parents get older, you know, they've been, you know, my dad's been this, you know, you got to do this, you got to do that. And, you know, my guide, my teacher, my parent. But as they get older, you almost have to, you know, I've mentioned, you know, we got to put my mom in a place. And so my dad's just at home alone now. But he gets caught up in these simple tasks that he used to do, you know, when he was younger. You know, he does specialty advertising. He was in the military and retired and ended up owning a specialty advertising business. So, you know, he works with a lot of, we live in a small town, so he works with a lot of small businesses. What typically would take him small amounts of time as you get older, and I even notice this, you know, it starts to take longer. And he can get up and, you know, breakfast can blend into lunch, and lunch can blend into dinner, and morning things can blend into afternoon things, and afternoon things can blend into the evening things, and by the end of the day, he's just wiped out. And I'm like, Dad, you know, some of the things that I try to do, especially like as we went through this kind of this COVID thing, was because the days just started blending in together. So I started trying to get into some small rituals, nothing big, you know, I didn't need to make a poster about it or anything, but you know, this was the morning, things I do in the morning. These are the things that I do in the afternoon. And then these are the things that I do in the evening, at least try to break it up into three chunks. And that's what I was trying to tell him. I'm like, Dad, you know, just, you know, get up in the morning. You know, I feel a little bit like a nag, that naggy son a little. But, you know, we just watched what my mom went through and is still going through. And, you know, a lot of her problems later in life were that just she just wasn't too concerned about her health. You know, my mom, I smoked, my mom smoked, my brother smoked, my dad never smoked, but we all at some point smoked. You know, I was lucky enough to quit in 99 is when I quit smoking, and then started running and exercising and just, you know, I think they say that you can heal yourself after 7 years. Every 7 years we kind of re-heal ourselves or remake ourselves. I think the problem is, though, it's the way it's been explained to me is if you take a picture and you make a copy of it, you have a nice copy of the same picture. And then if you were to make a copy of the copy, the flaws start to come out a little bit. And that's kind of how life is, right? Podcasts have been moved down in the dumps lately. Let's go.
You'll be feeling long, moving right along. Couldn't buy enough for the sweet. And in the aching eyes,
Kansas heart disease.
You know, I was trying to explain to him, you know, he needs to, like, get up in the morning, go for a walk, you know, don't let, because he's getting older, too. I mean, my dad's older than my mom was, he's 82. I'm like, don't let this, you know, catch you off guard like it did mom. Mom really just had lost all strength. I'm like, get up, you know, take a nice walk, separate these things, get up, go for a walk, come home, take a shower, get dressed, have breakfast, get yourself ready, show up for work, show up at, you know, he has an office in his house. You know, if you're going to work from 11 to 4 or 11 to 2 or, what, you know, he's retired. So whatever it is you're going to work, just designate that as the time. These are my working hours. Show up for work. When you're done at this time, be done. Drop it, leave it, and move into the next phase of the day. But if he's dragging, you know, when I talk to him, how's it going? Oh, Jesus, I just had the worst day. I've been messing, you know, back and forth with these businesses, and part's his fault, I'm sure. Part is other people's fault, but, you know, it's a bitch getting older. It slows us down. You know, like this song says, or when, you know, when we are born, is that when we start living? Or are we just existing? Do we have to live, or do we get to? I completely found times in my life where living is an absolute pain in the ass. Totally inconvenient. You know? Have to go to work, have to do this. You know? When I got sober, that was one of the first things that I started to do, was I started to live, sort of, you know. I mean, it's always been really about, as long as I can remember, it's, I don't know, man, life is strange. But it wasn't until I finally kicked myself of them damn drugs and alcohol that I started to be available, have relationships, other than, you know, something I was getting out of it. You know, other than a relationship where I was only in it to get something. I mean, it's almost like what life is. We've been watching a lot of this. You know, of course, now it's a big conspiracy, right? COVID-19. It's all like this perfect storm of things. Agent provocateur. You know, this, you know, these, I was watching this Joe Rogan podcast, and they were talking about these marching sites and these piles of bricks showing up just out of the blue, pallets of bricks in hot spots on these marching sites where they're going to be easily available to end up throwing, right? And what they're saying is that these agents provocateurs are coming in, whether they work for the government or for the police. And that they're coming inside of the, you know, if you have a peaceful riot, you know, it's, you know, of course everybody's like, of course, you know, Black Lives Matter, all lives matter, whatever matters, everyone's in on board, right? We got you. We got the message, you know. They want to have peaceful riots? Absolutely. Of course. I feel a little bit stupid. I thought, it's not even funny, but I thought that they were taking a knee because of how Colin Kaepernick was taking a knee. But really what this knee is representing is this cop putting this knee on this guy's throat for 8 minutes and 45 seconds or whatever, 8 minutes and 45 seconds too long. I didn't realize that's my naivety. But they're saying, you know, that, you know, they're having these peaceful rallies, and there's a lot of people apparently that aren't big supporters of it. You know, there is a lot of people out there that still, I mean, geez, if it wasn't the case, I mean, we wouldn't be having these marches. I mean, you know, it started from obviously this gentleman dying, but this problem's not new. It's just emerged again, right? It's now we're focusing on it again. And but you know, there's still a lot of people out there that aren't big supporters of this whole situation. So so what they're saying is that they send in these agent provocateurs. So if you have a big crowd of protesters walking, protesting peacefully, which you are absolutely allowed to do, they send these agent provocateurs in who start breaking shit. And then they're like, oh, this is out of control. We're shutting it down. So now the message gets shut down. And I'm like, my God, that's like right out of a movie. It's like right out of a James Patterson book. It's crazy. But there they are, these pallets of bricks that are now showing up everywhere. And, you know, if you talk to enough people about a lot of these things, you start to kind of get like this, you know, the conspiracy theory. And the latest one is that, you know, this COVID-19 was a flu. We pushed it to where we did because we wanted to pay off a lot of shit with one of these trillion-dollar bailout things that they came up with. I watched this lady was talking yesterday, and she was saying that the reason that this passed so quickly was because all of this pork barrel bullshit had already been written up and packaged up and was just waiting to be tied to something. They had it already, you know, real estate bailouts, bank bailouts, all these different things that people have been struggling with, I guess, even since the big thing in 2008, 2007, this was the perfect thing. And, you know, I'm not going to get too much into it, but then I just start thinking, wow, is this what's going on? It's crazy. And then you see these things on Facebook now, these pictures of the cop and then his mugshot, and there's differences in his picture. They say there's differences in his license plates. There's just all these inconsistencies. And I haven't really paid much attention. I mean, I'm obviously paying attention, but I haven't like gone into this conspiracy kind of thing. And, but it makes me start, you know, I'm riding my bike. This one, I'm like, is this one big simulation? You know, I've talked about it before. There's a guy that says that if you take the Bible and change the word from God to master, and there's some other words that you change in it, but it's really kind of like the story about this guy that created this world, a simulation. And he just puts things into it to change the way it's moving, you know, like, you know, whatever it is, war, you know, whatever. And I'm like, eh, whatever. But then you start thinking about, yeah, this feels like this big simulation. And it's very, I don't know, very interesting. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting too old. Live in my head, my creator. Now show me how to live. That's interesting, right? That's crazy. When I saw the title of the song, Show Me How to Live, you know, there was a guy, my buddy Matt, who was really, you know, he was a great example of how to live. You know, do you have people like that in your life? Do you have a guy that just kind of is a great example? I've had a lot of people in my life that I wish I had what they had, you know, whether it's, you know, quick on a bike, good on the guitar, you know, all the chicks dig him, you know, you're like, yeah, man, I wish I was like that guy, or I wish I, you know, I had this job because I want to have that status. I've had a lot of those people in my life, but never have I had a person in my life that was a great example of me on how to behave better. And Matt was one of those people. You know, Matt was a great example of a guy showing me how to live. And for all all my life, me living was me getting what me wanted. That's a score. I'm getting it. Score. It was like, I'm here and I'm here for one thing only, and that's to get what I want. If I don't get it, no score. If I get it, score. If I don't get it, this life sucks. If I do get it, this life is awesome. So it was really just an existence of take. And, you know, Matt was, he was all about give. You know, he took his share, but he took what all the hard work had given him. And he wasn't, if he was here today, he would tell you, he wasn't perfect. You know, he struggled, like we all do. But he was a great example of me, for me, on how he showed me how to live. You know, going to meetings, helping other people, you know, creating, you know, drawing lines. You know, people will take and take and take. And until you understand that and figure out a way to make sure or learn how to protect what's yours, you know, you're always going to be kind of pissed off and full of resentment. And he was great at separating himself from certain things. And he would never eat. He, you know, he had a bunch of restaurants. He would never eat in his restaurants. I mean, one of the last times we hung out, we rode our bikes down to one of his restaurants and had oysters and shrimp. And but he didn't go to his restaurants at night a lot, because people just felt like they had the privilege to tell him what he should change, or give him suggestions, or things that they, or, you know, oh, the fish and chips or whatever wasn't as good last night. I don't know, whatever it was. You know, it's just, he was a magnet for it. I guess anybody that's in that position is a magnet for that. But he knew, I can't go hang out at my restaurants because I'm going to deal with that. And it would be frustrating for him. And, you know, he just drew the lines in the sand of parameters that couldn't be, you know, whatever the fucking word is I'm trying to say. I don't even know. Here. I don't even know. What's the word? Here's the word. I think the word I was thinking of was boundaries. Huh. Just came to me. Boundaries. He was able to set boundaries for himself. And, you know, areas for him to do certain things in. And there was areas of boundaries he would set for, you know, to not be about work and to be about helping others. And it was great. He was a great example. I told the story before about how I used to, you know, I'd drive over to his house, slouch down in the car, probably no seatbelt. One hand on the wheel, pull up in his driveway, beep the horn, and, you know, before he got in my car, I would, you know, sit up, get my seatbelt on, turn down the music, put him my hands at 10 and 2, and he would get in the car, be like, hey, man. And to him, he would sit down and go, you know, he would look at me and think, I mean, I don't know what he would think, but I would assume he would think, oh, this guy's being safe, paying attention. I'd drive him to the meeting. Because I wanted to, him living it the way he did was such an example that it would make me adjust the way that I lived. And I'd go, we go to the meeting, bring him home. He'd, you know, take it easy, get out and go in his car, in his house. And I would slide down in my seat and pop one hand up on the wheel and turn the radio up and off I would go. I wasn't quite ready, but I would get pieces of it. You know, and I think that for me, that was a big deal is that, you know, when we get sober initially, I think that, you know, it's real easy to feel and look pretty fucking awesome because, you know, we were pretty fucked up for a long time. And so in the beginning, you just feel like everything you do is amazing. But then you start realizing what you're doing is normal. And maybe in my own head, it's not as amazing as I thought. You know, you can't fix it. I didn't get this way overnight, and I'm not going to get better overnight. You know, but maybe the next time I went over to Matt's, I put my seatbelt on and rode over the whole way with it on. You know, I'm always trying to improve. I'm always taking two steps forward, maybe a half a step back, maybe one step back. I remember when I changed my sobriety date, I had to take 5 steps back. And that was, you know, Matt's like, listen. You know, if you want to be sober and you want to have some quality sobriety, you need to change your sobriety date. And I was like, ugh, 2 years. Can you imagine 2 years? But that was how delirious I was. I had 2 years of sobriety, 2 coin years of sobriety, but really I didn't have much because I was using pain pills. I mean, that's not being sober, right? That's like living a lie. And that shit weighs on you too. I don't know. I don't know if you have anybody in your world that helps you learn to live. You know, I think it's always about the becoming available for the message. You know, you'll have people say, you know, say, listen, you should do this. I'm fine. You know, like, cool. No biggie. And I'm kind of saying as an example, I really don't run around telling people what to do. But for me, I would get a lot of suggestions and I had no desire to hear it until I got to that point and became available. And then all of a sudden I was like, I'm in, both feet. I don't know, just some stuff to think about. Hope everyone's having a great day, man. Little Lane.
Wake up, young man. Wake up, young man. It's time to wake up. Your love affair has got to go. For 10 long years. For 10 long years, the leaves to rake are slow suicide, no way to go. Blue clouded gray, you're not a crack.
You know, I was thinking, I only drank for I mean, I got sober. I really got sober in like 1997. I went without drink, I should say, in 1997. I mean, I really started drinking probably alcoholically maybe at 21, maybe 22. So I really only drank like 6 or 7 years hard. You know, I know people that drank for fucking 20 or 30 years. You know, I mean, my life's not over. I could pick it up, who knows, but, you know, for the most part, I've been free from alcohol. I did drink after 7 years, but just for about a year. And not that that's, you know, but I can't imagine, like, grinding through that shit for so many years. 30, 40 years. Not living. I mean, the only reason I learned how to live, the only reason that I feel like I have a life today, the only reason I'm available is absolutely because I got sober. I had to put down the drink so that I could start to understand what was my real problem, right? I want to start reading the steps. I don't know if I'll get in trouble. I mean, I can read the step, right? I don't know. Maybe I'll get in trouble, whatever. I just remember the first time I got sober, I had a sponsor, and we went through the steps, went through all 12 steps, and I was like, yes, I did it. And I would realize I really had no fucking clue what I'd read. Like, I was just, it was a mix between trying to impress my sponsor, just amazed that I was not drinking, blah, 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 all these different things. You know, it's kind of like walking through Disneyland. You're like, just so amazed. Well, I'm so amazed. And then you don't realize the kind of surface that you've been walking on the whole time, whether it was bricks or something like that. It's just, I'm so amazed with all this amazingness that I wasn't paying attention to the real message. And so going through all the steps, I'm like, yep, high five, we're done. And it wouldn't be till, you know, meeting Matt and really going through the steps. And it was funny because, and I've known a lot of people, I've had people that, you know, you have to have a special notebook, a special color, you have to write, I am an asshole, you know, these you know, brutal techniques that some of these people have that trying to help people to get the message. And Matt was really, you know, I remember we did a 4-step and he's like, you know, we just wrote a couple things down. You know, it wasn't this huge drawn out list. Maybe that was good. Maybe that was bad. I don't know. You know, a meeting used to be, you know, if you want to make some coffee, you sat down, you read something from the big book, or you had a guest to speak, you had an hour and then it was over with. And then people start, you know, getting involved. Humans. I mean, I've been to bagel meetings. I've been to pillow meetings. I've been to candle meetings. I've been to beach meetings, outdoor meetings, night meetings. I mean, every version of a meeting that you could make. And that's not what it says, you know. It's just a meeting. You know, it's supposed to suck. Supposed to be a drag. All right, well, listen, whatever. Have a great day. Stay cool. I love listening to Lane. He was fucking in so much pain, man. I mean, he just talks about recovery and the struggle. I mean,
for all the times you let them bleed you, for little peace from God you plead. We'll be right back.
was just fucking struggling. You know, I was watching something about Lane Sale, and they said, I think that his addiction started from a knee injury. A fucking knee injury. I mean, the shit, the amount of people that died because of these opiates, is some fucking shitty. I could have easily died. I was absolutely, absolutely addicted to painkillers. The struggle, the darkness, fucking absolutely real. And it wasn't for Matt really showing me how to live and pulling me out and holding me accountable for my fucking shit that I, for at least for today, barely made it. My good buddy Scott dropped dead from painkillers and alcohol. He was never a drug addict. Gone. Hey, if anybody out there is struggling with addiction or pain pills or drinking, just reach out. Find somebody. Try to help. Let somebody show you how to live one day at a time. Wake up. Great day. Wake up. Bye-bye.